I have the privilege of reading from the scripture today. It's very long, so bear with me here. Take out of it what you can. If you want to read along, I'm in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, starting with verse 12. And I'm going to read like 37 verses of this. So try to memorize them. Try to keep up. Okay, here we go. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. You would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You were doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God. And I'll tack on a verse from John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the word of God.
Okay, good morning. That was a lot of scripture, wasn't it? But, you know, it wasn't the whole Bible. It's always you always have to look at it in a positive note. Sorry. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing scripture. And when you're written, you read it. When you guys read God's word, do you read it as if it's talking to you and not to somebody else? Yeah, it's really kind of helpful, right? Because it's easy, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear sermons or when I hear somebody preaching, and they're really bringing out a really good point, and I have a tendency to think, boy, I think Mary really needs to hear that. Or that other brother or something. Boy, I hope they're really listening, right? It's our tendency. I was thinking, you know, if... The main verse is, of course, John 10, 17, is that what spoke to me is, my sheep hear my voice. And then, it, of course, Jesus says, and I know them. And then he says, and then they follow me. And so I'm a person that, I've been a Christian for over 50 years and love Jesus. But when I read that, I go, well, do I always do that? I hear his voice. I believe I hear his voice. I value his word. But do I always really listen to it? Do I always obey it? So I'm assuming if I was to ask the question, do you guys obey Jesus' words all the time? And I asked you to raise your hands. I would expect to see everybody's hands risen. You know, raised, right? Mine would be. But you know, so what's been on my heart lately is just this idea of voices, and that there are so many voices in our lives, right? And I've been in the grocery industry for years. In the past 6 years, I've been kind of out and about. I mean, I got a job with a family who loves Jesus, which is a blessing, you know. And I sell milk, but I've been in the office, you know, I've worked remotely. So here I am, you know, 38 years in the stores, always active on my feet and stuff. So here I'm sitting at a desk, you know, and so it's a very different realm for me. But so what comes in, it's always in your phone is your kind of part of your work deal, and all my emails are on there. And so when I look at my phone, my phone is always coming at me, and there's so many things. I don't know about you guys, but you get everybody and their brother seems to know you, and they say, hi, Gary, I guess what? I got something to sell you. You know, and they're like your best friend. But there's a lot of voices out there, and they're not always, and how do we discern what's really the shepherd's voice, right? I was really blessed, just a couple of some thoughts, and just so you know, I'm going to just share from my heart, and it might not make any sense, so, but you know, you can sleep or whatever you want to do. But But you know, that's just kind of, I think that's just how I'm made. And I mean, I have an outline and I have things I've written down here, but something I was really blessed with by a few weeks ago when we had that time of sharing. And it was just really a blessing to me to hear different people share their hearts, you know, and just maybe where they're at. And it just really did bless me. And it made me think also of this in scripture in John 17. I'm sure you guys know that verse and verses where Jesus is praying, right? It's the high priestly prayer. And he prays to the Father. Here's Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, praying to his Father. It's a really special prayer, I think. I mean, if you haven't read it, I would encourage you just to read it because it's so special. It's so intimate. But he prays specifically for us. He prays, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one, and that they would be one with us as we are one. I mean, if there is nothing that blows your mind, that should blow your mind. The idea that Jesus, God in the flesh, is praying means that it can happen, and that it does happen as we surrender ourselves to him, right? And as we keep acknowledging him, that without him, there is no life. Jesus says, I am the way, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He reminds us in the word that there's no breath that you and I take that he didn't give us. There's nothing that we have, John says, and John the Baptist says, there's nothing that we have that doesn't come from heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't always live that way. I don't always think that way, because I'm kind of in this flesh. But so I'd just like to pray real quick. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time this morning, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart that you've given me might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, our rock, and redeemer. In your name we pray, amen. So anyways, it's kind of about voices, and you know, it's what the Lord's put on my heart, and probably because I think more about even, you know, it's, we've been doing that. We brought up five kids and we still had to deal with that. We're the Lord's, and we're the voices that were being spoken into our kids' lives. We had to deal with that at the time, right? And we homeschooled some of the kids, and because the systems were out there and they were wanting to teach them certain things, we thought that weren't helpful for them at the time and all that. So those were all voices, right? So you have to think, it just seems like there's a heightened awareness for me right now. And so that's why I'm sharing. You know, it's our culture. I thought about this yesterday. It came to my mind. I thought, isn't that interesting? I had to go look. But I, you know, our money, our currencies, we have in God, we trust on that. So I'm guessing we really probably, some of they're going to maybe remake it someday and put an S at the end of the God, right? But it does say that, in God. And when I read that, it's the God of the Bible to me. It's the one true living God. There's no other God, right? And I'm sure that's the same for you guys. But we know there's been, you know, in our society today, and his word is being twisted, and even those who claim to be his mouthpieces, right, are in shepherd positions, are twisting the word. They're not really preaching sometimes. What I consider, it's me, you're hearing from my voice, that I don't think they're preaching the word of the cross. And it's not a surprise. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So it's easy, right? I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I believe I'm his sheep. But at the same time, when I read that, do I still take that in? Do we still take it in and say, hey, is that, could that be me? Am I potentially listening to a wolf or somebody that's just twisting it a little bit, the word? So I think that's just I would encourage us that that's an important thing to do. And it doesn't mean that we don't have confidence that we're born again and that we believe and we're his sheep, but we're not exempt from getting swayed, right? None of us. So what are some of the voices in the world? Well, I made a little list here. I just wrote down some things. I'm sure you'll have many more, but I wrote down some of the voices in our world today are our own, my voice. We have family members, right? We have pastors, church leadership, coworkers, schools, professors, teachers, books, the internet, news, government, Facebook, and all the social, Twitter and Instagram, podcasts. There is, and we have access to an amazing amount of information and voices that speak into our life, right? So then I was thinking about, well, so what are some of the things God's word says about mankind, my inner voice or our inner voice? Well, in Proverbs 19:3, it says, "The foolishness of a man twists his way and his heart frets against the Lord." In Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Some people don't, so that's a kind of a doctrinal thing. I believe that my heart in my flesh is still that, apart from Jesus and apart from his blood, apart from being cleansed. I still believe that my heart can be deceitful. I can get swayed. I cannot always think clearly. And what's cool is that I have a wife that I share. We share, and I'll come out, and sometimes I'll be in a phone call or come out, and I'll come out of the office and be really frustrated, you know. And of course, she's in the kitchen or something, you know. And I don't buffer my frustration like I probably should, right? But I've just had maybe have even a conversation with my boss, and I kind of coming out like that. And, but what's cool is that I share, you know, my frustration and stuff, but I have her, we walk alongside this, we walk this journey together, one in Jesus, right? Is that she gives me a different perspective many times. And it's not the perspective that I have at the moment. And so, of course, sometimes that conversation doesn't always go so well, or it doesn't maybe go the way we'd like it to go, or think that it probably would be godly to go, you know, or that way. But at the same time, I need that. And that's what we need each other. But we don't always want to receive it. We our way, right? It's kind of my way or the highway. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Now again, it's really important, I think, and you've probably heard me say this, but I really believe strongly that, Lord Jesus, help us to receive your word. Help us to listen to your voice. Because otherwise it still goes through that heart, that wicked, that deceitful heart's filter. It goes through my mind. And so am I willing to really agree with him? And sometimes, I don't know, do you all have a really easy time agreeing with everything the Lord shows you? The answer is no, right? I know that. Because you're no different. We're all made out of the same clay, right? So I was reading, I came up with this thing. It's kind of interesting. So the other thing is Judges. If you read through Judges seven times in Judges, and that book spans about a 450-year period in God's people's lives, and you read that, it's pretty gnarly, right? Book of Judges. And they did some really, we did a study one time, and one of the guys, the leader, says, "Hey, should we read this part? You know, because it's hard to read." But this is what John MacArthur says in an article, 2021 Decision Magazine article, and he's talking about, and it's written about the and they did what was right in their own eyes. In Judges 17:6 and 21:25, the book's final verse, the writer sums up precisely why it was such a miserable time. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That statement, I've got to get a little water here. My mouth is going to, I thought I brought it up here. Anyway, do you have water right there, Mom? On the floor, thanks. I put it there. I put it there, yeah. I did put it there and then I forgot it. Thank you. You know, you guys know that I'm really yakky, period. But I get really fearful when I'm up here. I don't know why, because, you know, but I do. So Lord's, he's giving grace, hopefully. But he says, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That statement would be a fitting estimation of the moral, this is John MacArthur, of the moral state of our generation, too. In this increasingly secular culture, most people no longer believe there's any fixed, inviolable, inviolable moral standard they need to obey. People regularly prompt one another with phrases like, find your own truth, follow your heart, as if that were a purely noble and upright way to live. But that, according to Scripture, is the distilled essence of the sinful foolishness. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 12:15. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 26:12. God condemns evil people who refuse to hear his words, who stubbornly follow their own heart. Jeremiah 13:10. In short, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Don't you love to hear that kind of stuff? It's in God's word. It's God's voice. When Moses gave the law to the people of Israel, one of the chief principles he underscored for them was, you shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, everyone doing whatever is right in his own eyes. That's Deuteronomy 12:8. The idea that everyone should get to define for himself what is right and true is a recipe for disorder and disaster. I mean, how many of you guys have kids? Or have had kids, right? Yeah. They're not foolish at all. And it's everything's so orderly with kids, right? When Moses gave the law to the people of Israel, one of the chief principles he underscored for them was, you shall not, I already read that, sorry. The idea that everyone should get to define for himself what is right and true is a recipe, again, for disorder and disaster. It is the very definition of moral anarchy. But it is also the defining principle of postmodernism, the value system that rules the current generation. Truth is regarded as a matter of personal perspective. People today believe nothing can be known with settled certainty. This is not a new phenomenon. Pontius Pilate cynically asked Jesus, what is truth? In John 18:38. Today's society collectively answers that question in the most skeptical yet arrogant way possible. Namely, with the disastrous false notion that the only truth that ultimately matters is whatever seems right in your own eyes, right? And you know, you read those things, and you know, we're Christians, you know, and we love the Lord, but at the same time, when we read that, I'd like to say that I never do that. I never do what's just kind of right in my own eyes, right? But we do. It doesn't mean we're not loved, but we do. So what's the other side? We have God's voice in our lives. We have his word. We value his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word created everything. It's Jesus. Word implies using a voice, right? And then it says, then John 1:14 says, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, we just celebrated that, right? The incarnation. But there's other voices, right? So there's other voices in our lives, not only our own, but there's this other guy in Scripture, and he's an accuser of the brethren, and he's the father of lies, Satan. And what's sad is, and what's unfortunate is that we know in our society that that's being diminished, that's being kind of poo-pooed, right? Satan, hell, the consequences of doing what's right in our own eyes. So in John, so here's some verses. John 8:44, it says, he was a murderer, and we heard this already this morning. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. This is the Satan he's talking about, of course, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Speaks from his own resources. That kind of speaks in some ways to my, I do a lot of that. Speak from my own resources instead of the Lord's resources. For he is a liar, and he's not just a liar, he's the father of it. He's the He's the grand poopa or booba or whatever that name is, whatever you say, right? 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, for such are false apostles, as deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, angel of light, isn't that pretty? Look at that light. It's so beautiful, and it looks so real. And we went to Bible college, Mary and I met, that's where we met, one of the pastors, when we were taking Revelations, and never thought of it this way, but he brought up the fact that, isn't it interesting that 7-7, the number 7 is kind of, symbolizes Christ and the completion, you know, fullness. And then he brought up the fact, you know, with the symbol when we were going through Revelations and the mark of the beast, 666, right? So if you take 666666666666, not that it really shouldn't be a 9 at the end of that, but he said, you know, that's kind of a symbol of that it's as close, he's trying to be as close as he can to Christ, and that's the danger, right? Are we hearing his, Jesus's voice instead of another voice that's sometimes really close? John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Something else kind of yesterday, it just happened yesterday in our study yesterday in Acts. We were in Acts 21 in the men's fellowship in the morning, Acts 20, excuse me. And we got to this portion. It was kind of a really great discussion yesterday. It always is, but it was. This is a portion that kind of came out and reminded me that here's the Apostle Paul, and he's in Ephesians, and he's talking to the elders, and he's kind of exhorting them. And yet he says here, he says at the end kind of this chapter, he says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I like that. If you're around me, probably you hear me say that a lot. Are we really in taking the whole counsel of God? Some, you know, in this society today, some churches are saying that the Old Testament has no relevancy in today. I would call that and I'm not their judge, but I would say that's not a person that's not a voice of God. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the elders here, right, in Ephesians. He says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Kind of a key phrase right there. He purchased with his own blood. For I know that this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, this is kind of scary and disheartening. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. He was a pretty intense guy, Apostle Paul, wasn't he? But God used him in such an amazing, mighty way. Just quickly, we saw, I mean, just a quick testimony of, I became a Christian when I was, my experience, I grew up in a Christian home, I grew up in a Lutheran, you know, church, I loved Jesus, I loved singing about Jesus, and my parents took us every week, they were really faithful to do that, and, but there came a time in my life when I was about 14, 15, it just seemed like there were so many choices, there were so many things, I was confused, you know, so I remember I was about 14, I think, maybe 15, and I remember kneeling next to my mom and dad's bed, and I was with tears, and I just felt like I was confused, you know, because I did love the Lord, but I was really kind of confused, and I expressed that to them, and they prayed with me, you know. And it wasn't long after that, I was at a Lutheran youth gathering. It was in Seattle, and there was a group called the Joyful Celebration. They were part of LBR. They were a full-time ministry team, you know, traveling ministry team. But it was, and a guy was there, a speaker, and he shared. And at the end of that, it just seemed like, I mean, I was hearing something, you know, or I was just feeling in my heart. And it was very real to me. It was weird, you know, something I hadn't experienced before. But it was like, and we were in a gym. I had sat on the floor the whole time, right? There's hundreds of people in this gym and up on the stands and bleachers. And it was like, have you ever seen those movies where they film sometimes and somebody's here and they can kind of hear and it gets all fuzzy and you kind of hear all these noise. And then, you know, and then it focused on this guy and he hears this voice or something, whatever. But that was my experience. I was having that experience. And there was a voice. Whether it was audible, I don't remember that, but it was audible in my mind, my brain, in my heart. And it was calling me to, basically, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was saying, Gary, choose this day whom you're going to serve. And by his grace, I chose him. I mean, I responded. I went home and told my of course, we had at our house, we'd have cereal at night sometimes, and my dad would, and sometimes, but we were having cereal at the end before I went to bed, but I shared that with my folks. Of course, you know, here I just had a prayer with them, and they were praying for me, and, you know, the blessing is that, as a parent, right, you know, to have your children follow Jesus, because that's what you want them to do, you know? It's a blessing. So, that was a very real Damascus Road experience for me. It wasn't what I grew up with, but it was very extremely real. And it does change your perspective, changes your life, right? I felt like I heard the Good Shepherd's voice. And that it says in another verse in John, it says that he, or it's here, it's the verse is, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And then John 10, 14, 15, prior to 27 says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep by name. I know my sheep. And I am known by them, by my own, it says actually. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we have God's voice, and what came to my mind, we've got God's voice, and what other voice do we have other than all these other voices? Well, we have God's voice, and where does that come? Well, God himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's voice comes through his written word. It comes through, it comes through prayer as he draws us to himself as we pray to him, right? We have communion with him. We hear his voice. And then it also comes from other brothers and sisters, you know, that are pointing us to Jesus. And then Isaiah 55, right? We're reminded of Isaiah 55. I think Jim even shared this yesterday, but in the men's group, but Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So some of you have maybe young kids, and you know, some of you have been through, and not, this isn't, of course, a diss on, you know, teenagers. Bella Grace. But, right, in the teenagers, how many times do we think, hey, I know way better than you, mom and dad? You don't really have it. You're kind of losing it. You don't really, yeah. Isn't that true? So it's no different for us, right? We're no different with really many times with the Father. We think we know better. So he reminds us in his ways, hey guys, my thoughts, not your thoughts. And my ways aren't your ways. And as far as the heavens are higher, that's kind of a far. I think that's a pretty big distance. The heavens as far as the earth, higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't even know where I'm at here with all this. See, that's what happens. I even numbered the pages. Anyway, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, right? We have a myriad. That's why scripture is so sweet. It's so wonderful. It's his voice, and I need it. And Lord, help me to keep drawing me to your word, which is really Jesus, right? The written word only speaks of him. But he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So, just really quick, I've intimated it, but I'd like to think after 50 years, and I think Satan kind of uses this many times, he says, why aren't you further along? Why do you still kind of have these same, you trip over the same thing many times, right? Why do you sin? It's not just a trip. It's sinning against the very God that loves me and gave himself for me. But so I wrote down two things. I wrote down Mary and coworkers, because those are probably, I mean, Mary for sure is the one I sin against the most. And right, the person that you love the most in the world, that we're one with, and you know, we've been married for 42 years, by God's grace we'll be married more, you know, and she, but why do I kind of say the things? We get tangled up during the day or during the weeks. Why does that happen? If it's somebody that I really love and I've got Jesus in my heart, what's the clog in the pipe? Well, the clog in the pipe is that I'm still in the flesh, right? Hence, Jesus, God, sent his son to die, and the flesh had to die, because it's unless that flesh dies, unless I agree with him that this thing in me or whatever it might be has to die, it says I'm not going to know peace. I'm not going to really know joy. I'm not going to know life. And then you got a guy that's over there working really hard. Sometimes I really don't need a lot of help, you know, bringing myself down and making wrong choices. But you do have a guy that says, Jesus says, hey, he's coming in to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to steal that peace in your heart. He's going to steal that relationship you might have even with your wife. And it's slow. It's just these little things. So for us, right, I have embossed on my Bible, and it's probably one of my favorite verses. I mean, I kind of like the whole Bible, but this one's probably pretty important. I like this one. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, I kind of like that. I've been saved, right? We know we've been born again, but we're still being saved. I need it. I need to be, that sanctification process, right? You who have been sanctified, be ye being sanctified. So I need it constantly. But it's easy to think, oh, yeah, I sinned way back there, and not see the little things, right, that are there, and Satan wants you to miss them. Because if you don't bring it to him, it's going to bring you down. It's a stealing. It's a frog in the pot, right? So and I like John 3, we've got John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are Jesus' words, who loves us, and yet those were Jesus' words who was pretty harsh to those other guys that told him, you listen to the father of lies. He loves them though too. But I really like John also 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world. This is Jesus talking. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not to condemn, but to save. So you and I always have a choice during the day. Whose voice are we going to listen to? And if it's the Lord, it's going to be consistent with his word. If the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you probably, you know, your reaction in there and your spirit and that word you just said to your wife, you know, that was, you need to, I had to die on the cross for that. And so I have a choice to turn and live. We're right. Ezekiel 18:32 says, you know, God says, I don't desire that anybody die. Turn and live. So you can always turn that around and go, well, so what if you don't turn? What's going to happen? No live. Right? I mean, you know, I'm not a linguist, but I'm pretty sure that's what you can do with that, right? Hebrews 9:22 says, and you guys all know this, we're not quite there yet when we're studying through Hebrews here, but without, and this is the half portion, this is 22b, but without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So did you guys hear that? without the shedding of blood, Jesus' blood on the cross, there is no forgiveness of sin. So for you and me, what does Romans say there? It says, for the wages of sin are death. And there's this guy, I help too, but in my flesh, but there's this guy says, he's there to kill, steal, and destroy. He's coming to bring death. And the only answer is, what's 9:22 say? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You guys want to be forgiven? So you can listen to those other people that say, hey, just follow your heart. Just kind of go with the flow, you know, or just do this, this, and this, and then you'll be kind of good to go. And we can listen to all that, but it's not the word of the cross. Ezekiel 18, 31 through 32, I'm going to read the whole thing. I thought this was good. I like quote 32 because it's so special. But he says in 31, 32, he says, Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel says, repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Actually, it's really just receive it, but that's what he means. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The voice comes to me, Gary, why would you die? Why would you choose that? Why would you listen to that? Because you're going to die. Sometimes I do. But he says, repent, we can turn. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. And I really like, John, the whole John, when you read John 3:16, that's what we all know, probably grew up with, kids, we memorize that. But John 3:13 says this, through 14 to 16, the verses before 16 say, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I love that story, and of course, if you the guys at the on the Saturday morning, they probably could hit a tape button and it would have that on there, that story, because I like that story. It's an amazing story. It's a provision. God's provision is the cross of Christ. Nothing we can do ourselves. In fact, we're the ones, if we don't turn, we don't live. And I was talking about somebody recently, and in a work situation, and one of the people got angry, and it was at a trade show. He got mad, and he was justified in getting mad, I thought, because I agreed with him. But what was so cool is about 5 minutes later, he apologized. He asked forgiveness from the people he kind of said, you know, he got mad at. They happened to be his employers. I thought that was so cool. But the person who received that asking forgiveness, they said, "Oh no, big deal. It's always a big deal. It's okay, you know." So, and they're Christians, and I'm not sure where this other person's at, but I got a chance. I said to her, "You know," I said, "it's real important. He, God, but worked in his heart. You know, where." Whether he's a believer or not, he worked in his heart and he asked for forgiveness. So, you know, we need to give him, extend forgiveness. Important. Absolution. Because that's what our Father in heaven does. He doesn't go when we repent. He doesn't go, hey, it's no big deal. That was it's not a big deal. That was a kind of a gray one or a little one, you know, or whatever. That's not, you don't worry about that one, you know. He doesn't say that. Jesus hanging on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he loves us so, doesn't he? Amazing.